This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. Great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Travel Tuesday. Is it time to book travel now? I mean, there's some great deals out there. Will they ever be this good? We'll talk about that later on in the show, about 12:39. New studies track the long-lasting impact of COVID-19. That's in our next segment. Right now, Senate runoff elections in Georgia will impact economic policy and decisions by the incoming Biden administration. We're joined by Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, an economist found online at andrewbush.com. Andy, it's not even necessarily a Republican or Democrat thing, is it? In general, it seems like the markets do not like an undivided government. They like divided government.
Well, in this particular case, I think they do. They're concerned about a leftward shift of the Biden administration and certainly a shift away from the Trump administration. And there's a lot of things that President-elect Biden can do even without a unified Congress, and that has to do with executive orders. So we know that he's going to move forward on those. But as far as the markets go, I think they're worried about a unified Democrat Congress changing the tax structure of the United States mainly. I think that's what their biggest concern is.
And going forward, I mean, what are we going to see? I mean, I know predictions are tough, but what happens to the markets in the short term if there is not divided government? In the long run, Wall Street always seems to respond okay, but in the short run, it could get bumpy.
Yeah, it could. I mean, look, we're going to have growth next year. And with the current, the last stimulus plan, we're going to get 5% growth in the first half of the year. But that's in a lot of sectors that are not impacted by COVID. I mean, that we're talking about travel and leisure, you know, hospitality, bars, restaurants, all of those people are still going to be impacted. Any face-to-face businesses are going to be impacted by COVID. There are other areas like manufacturing and factories are growing, that's for sure, and they're putting out stuff. But for next year, Biden, the thing is, if they have a unified Congress, I think the most important thing for people to think about in those industries that are negatively impacted are those $2,000 checks, because those will definitely happen under a unified Democrat Congress.
And interesting, because that pretty popular politically, and yet there are some economists concerned about it.
Yeah, I think they're concerned about people who don't need it getting it. And I think under the current plan, or what I saw from the House, a family of four that's earning up to $250,000 a year could get $5,000 out of this. So I don't think that's where the country really wants to go. It really wants to benefit those who need it the most. But this election is huge. I mean, it really has massive implications for a wide range of policy shifts that will occur, whether it's defense, whether it's banking, finance, judiciary. Our own Senator Dick Durbin, if it becomes a Democrat majority, will take over the Judiciary Committee in the Senate, and he'll be part of the process, but getting new judges across and, of course, new Supreme Court members. So a lot of things on the line today in Georgia, and the voting won't be done tonight, right? The counting will go on for a while, because they can't count the votes until the day of the election, and there's 3 million people that voted already. So we know it's going to take a little bit longer than today.
Thanks so much, Andy Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. You can find him online at andrewbush.com. Just ahead, COVID cases are surging in Southern California as doctors are learning more about long-term effects of the disease. The latest COVID-19 numbers in L.A. are disturbing, while doctors are getting a clearer picture of the longer-term impact of the virus. We welcome Michelle Cortez, health reporter at Bloomberg News. Michelle, kind of give us an understanding of what's going on in Los Angeles.
The hospitals in Los Angeles are completely overwhelmed at this point. They do not have beds for people who are coming in. And as a result, emergency medical technicians are being told things like, if you have a person who is not likely to survive, someone whose heart has already stopped with coronavirus appearing, who you can't really do anything for, don't even bring them to the hospital. In other cases, the EMTs are bringing people to the hospital and they're waiting outside in the loading docks with those patients still in their ambulance because there's literally not beds for people in the hospital. So they are really at a critical level when it comes to Los Angeles. Not only people with coronavirus, but people who are having any emergency medical condition are now being affected by this virus out there.
Are you hearing anything about sort of overflow sites? I know at the beginning of the pandemic, even here in Chicago, they outfitted McCormick Place as a makeshift hospital. Any of that going on in Los Angeles? I mean, they even had military ships show up at one point early in the pandemic.
Yes, they have done that in Los Angeles. Certainly, we know the Mercy and other ships, whatnot. A lot of medical convention hotels and hospitals were, and areas were opening up convention halls. In Los Angeles, we're seeing churches and gyms, other types of tents going up, overflow areas. They're bringing in portable morgues to handle all of the bodies. But really, at this point, the issue is trying to get people who might actually have a shot into the hospital. And it is that critical piece of being overwhelmed. We're going to see knock-on effects on the health and survival of patients in Los Angeles because of this outbreak.
At the same time, we're learning a little more now that we're many months into this about the long-term effects of COVID. There are some people who had it months ago, and yet they're still feeling the effects.
Right. We're seeing some of the first studies coming out now on this group of people who are called the long haulers. And these are people who, in some cases, they seem to have gotten infected and recovered, and then they relapse. The main significant function of this particular type of infection is the duration of the symptoms. These people have shortness of breath. They have consistent headaches, complete fatigue, brain fog. Many of them are unable to return full time to work, and these symptoms can last for months. There's a study that's just being made available. It's not been peer reviewed yet, but it does look at nearly 4,000 of these long haulers, and it finds that a significant number of them are unable to fully recover, return to work, and go back to living their previous lives.
Yeah, I think it probably speaks to the people who think, because in many cases, people get it and they're down for a few days and then they're back to normal. It really speaks to them that that's not always the case.
Right. Up to 45% of these folks are unable to go back to work. 22% say they can't work at all. And this is really a devastating situation. It is not just people who are old or who have other health conditions. In some cases, it's young people, physically fit people. And it's one of those situations, Cisco, just like it is with the survival piece of it. Chances are, if you're young and healthy, you're unlikely to get this, but you never really know. We see story after story about somebody who seemingly was in the peak of their physical fitness life, and then they die of coronavirus. In this case, we're seeing some people who are just being taken out for months and months at a time, just unable to fully fight off this infection.
And really, until we're, several years into this, we don't even know about the long-term effects. There may be people who don't feel anything right now, and yet something could come on in later years. Not to be alarmist, but we just don't know.
Exactly. We don't know what kind of effect this can have, knock-on years down the line, what's happened to your immune system, what's happening to your, physical and mental fitness levels. In this particular case, we are seeing both. There is a brain fog that happens to some of these folks. So not only are they tired, having headaches, can't go about their day-to-day activity, they're also having trouble thinking. And exactly as you say, we don't know for this group of people when that's going to fully resolve, if it fully resolves. And we also don't know what might be coming later down the pike for them and others who have already fought it off.
Thanks so much, Michelle Cortez, health reporter for Bloomberg News. Up next, deciding whether it's a good time to do home renovations.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Home improvements can add value to your home, but sometimes they're better than others. Get the best bang for your buck. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Rick Sharga, Executive Vice President of Realty Track, based in Orange County, California. Rick, it's good to have you back on the show. A lot of people have been renovating during the pandemic. Some of that's probably good, and I don't know, some of it may just be a waste of money.
Yeah, and Happy New Year to you, Cisco. It's nice to be back on air with you. The home renovation business has been booming really for a while, and part of that's because boomers have elected to age in place and are spending a lot of money renovating their houses to make them more livable. That's an example of something that probably won't pay off as an investment when it's time to sell the house, but certainly makes the property a better place to live for those boomers who are aging in place. But you're right. There's basic things people can do that always help to capture maximum value. Little things: fresh coat of paint, new carpeting, making sure the roof is in good shape, making sure your windows are in good shape. Today, a lot of buyers are looking for solar energy as an option when they're buying a house. So there are basic things you can do to make sure your house has that optimal curb appeal. But there are things that you can do, like building a swimming pool in the backyard. Well, you'll probably never recoup the cost that you put into having that pool installed.
And is that something you said right at the beginning about some of the boomers who are aging in place? Do you just have to come to a decision, hey, is this money I want to spend because I want to enjoy something versus this is money I'm going to spend because I think it's going to help me sell the house or help me get a better deal?
Yeah, that's a great point, and that's exactly the way homeowners need to look at this. Am I doing home renovations to increase the value of my house? If that's the case, you probably want to focus on your bathrooms, and you want to focus on your kitchen to make sure everything is up to date. If it's to make it more livable, that's a whole different discussion, and you look at that more as an investment in yourself rather than an investment in the property. One of the things that the pandemic has changed, Cisco, is the nature of renovations for properties. As more people are able to work from home now, for example, you might want to look at converting part of your house into what can be used as a home office, because more people are going to be looking for that kind of space in properties going forward. So there are some new things for people to think about if they're looking at investing in their property in a way that maximizes value.
Yeah, and that's good, too, because some of those, like an office, may not necessarily be a lot of money. Thank you, Rick Sharga. Always good advice. Executive Vice President at Realty Track. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday. Booking trips now for travel later in the year in order to get good deals.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
This is Mike Krauser. Fewer than half of the Chicago public school teachers who were supposed to be in classrooms yesterday showed up, and the school system says they will face progressive discipline.
Runoff elections in Georgia today will determine control of the U.S. Senate. Travel Tuesday, balancing optimism and realism when booking trips for later in the year. The pandemic is sparking several new trends in the commercial real estate market. WBBM Business, the Dow up 145 points, the NASDAQ is up 69, and the S&P is up 17 points. Oil is up 5%. We have lots of clouds in Chicagoland, occasional sunshine today. Right now, 34 degrees, and that's right about our high for the day. Fewer than half of Chicago public school teachers showed up for in-person learning yesterday as the union discusses a potential strike and principals line up with teachers. WBBM's Mike Krauser reports.
The school's CEO, Dr. Janice Jackson, said it serves no one's interest to start firing teachers, but those not showing up will face progressive discipline.
We have sent notices to staff who did not return to ensure that our expectations are clear. If staff choose not to attend and support the students who are relying on them, we will handle those on a school-by-school and case-by-case basis.
The president of the Chicago Principals and Administrators Association, Troy LaRaviere, joined the teachers' union during a news conference.
CPS has breached stakeholder trust so often before and during the pandemic that few stakeholder groups have faith in any plan made by this district behind closed doors.
The teachers union president, Jesse Sharkey, said CPS statements about safety lack credibility. He says many teachers are not feeling safe. Mike Krauser, News Radio 105.9 FM.
Control of the U.S. Senate is on the line through twin runoff races in Georgia today.
The attack ads have been on constant repeat in Georgia for weeks. Republican incumbents David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler taking on their Democratic opponents in John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, respectively. Recent polling into Election Day shows both races are nearly neck and neck. Georgia election officials expect robust turnout that would follow what's already been record turnout for the early voting period, with more than 3 million ballots cast. Edgar Tragetz for CBS News, Atlanta.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Noon Business Hour, presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. A podcast of this hour, always available at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app. Markets are higher on this Tuesday. The Dow up 144, NASDAQ up 73, and the S&P up 17 points. Let's see what's going on. Michael Palumbo is here, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk. Mike, what do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Well, good afternoon, Cisco, and thanks again for having me on in this great beginning of 2021 after what a one hell of a show we had last year. It's great to be with you. So far, the markets have opened the year mixed to down and with a lot of volatility, and I think that's pretty normal for a market that's just trying to digest a huge up year last year at a time when very few people thought that was possible. So right here, it's just digesting it. It's going to take a little while. And then when earnings start coming out in a couple of weeks, we'll start seeing how the fourth quarter numbers measure up. But I do think that the S&P can get to 4,000 this year. That would be about a 10% increase. That's where we see it. But we have two concerns. The two big concerns are the dollar and interest rates. And those are the two things that could possibly derail this rally. If inflation kicks up, last year was 1.2%. If we get inflation up to 1.5% to 2%, and you got the 10-year bonds trading 1%, well, that yield's going to go up. If that yield goes up, I think that's going to be the one catalyst that could cause a significant sell-off. And investors should definitely keep their eye on 10-year bonds for sure this year. You know, you see Bitcoin going to over 30,000 and everybody's cheering it on. And, hey, those who are long it, they're winning. But in reality, Bitcoin is an indictment of all other monetary systems throughout the world. So it going up is basically saying, hey, something else is not working very well. And that is the global monetary system and the amount of money printing that's going on. So, yeah, Bitcoin investors are winning, but I think that's another sign that there may be some inflation coming, that there's a lot of concern about all this money printing that's been going on since the virus started.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk. Let's talk about Bitcoin for a moment, because there's been a lot of talk that may be the new gold. You know, it'll be sort of safe haven when there's economic uncertainty. You have J.P. Morgan saying it could go to $146,000 long term. What do we make of Bitcoin, especially given the fact that most people still don't even really know what it is?
Yeah, and that's fine, because, you know, the people that understand Bitcoin, you're talking about 1% of the population, and that even those people, you know, the ones that really understand it are probably 1% of those people. So, you know, not a whole lot of people that really understand it. But, you know, I obviously have to watch it closely, being an investor in anything. And so for us, Bitcoin really is a digital form of gold. And it has reacted that way for the most part. So, you know, you see the dollar start getting weak. Well, Bitcoin just exploded. It went from 10,000 to 30,000 in a very short period of time once the dollar started turning south. And it like I said, it runs as an indictment for other global monetary policies, not only just the U.S., but all over the world. You see a lot of governments printing money to get ourselves out of this virus situation, and that is just showing up in Bitcoin prices. So I'm happy for the Bitcoin investors. I am long some crypto myself, just as a disclosure, but I am very concerned that this signals that things are not good in definite government actions monetarily. So that's an issue going forward, and that could cause inflation. And that's why I say the number one thing to look for in this year that could derail this rally is inflation.
And let's go ahead and talk about what, as we're looking forward now, we're in 2021. If we do get beyond this pandemic, say 6 months or so from now, if we're looking that far off, any sectors people should be paying attention to for some gains?
Well, I like to start the year. I like foreign stocks. Emerging markets, I think, are going to have a much better year than the U.S. And that's going to be because, again, I expect the dollar to remain weak. And usually in a weak dollar situation, you got to get out your 2005 playbook, and that is buy China, buy Russia, buy Brazil, and sell the U.S. and look for oil prices to possibly kick up a little bit here, which they have today. First time over $50 since last February. So I like emerging markets over the U.S., but I still think the U.S. ekes out a gain. And I said I think we get to 4,000 in the S&P. That's about an 8% or so gain. I think we get that, but I think that the better gains are going to be had in the more riskier emerging markets bets, just because the dollar should remain fairly weak. So that's where we're positioned to start the year. I'm certainly willing to change my mind, but that's what I see right now.
Thanks so much, Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital. Just ahead, Travel Tuesday, getting deals now for later in the year.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour. This afternoon, we're looking at trip planning in the pandemic. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors based in Scottsdale, Arizona. Angie, good to have you back on the show. So for people who are looking for deals with the pandemic and the slowdown in travel, can we say, I mean, this is a pretty good time to find deals?
Yes, it is. And in fact, it's a really good time to be booking travel, whether you're going to be traveling spring of 2021 or even 2022 and beyond. The terms and conditions are very flexible. We're seeing a lot of promotions from, you know, stay 5 nights, pay for 4.
Wow. It's okay. So if people are looking to take advantage of this, are there certain spots maybe where the deals are even better?
I'm seeing a lot of all-inclusive properties offering great promotions. So those areas would be, there's a lot of all-inclusive properties in the Caribbean as well as in Mexico. I also think it's a great time to explore places in the United States, such as the Southeast, Florida being a great place for deals right now as well. Some of the amusement parks, which is great for family travel, such as Disney and Atlantis, are offering some great prices right now.
Now, when it comes to travel, say, 6 months down the road, are we seeing differences in the fine print about being able to get out of that, or are there insurance options? Some people are hoping that the pandemic subsides here, but it could drag on for a while.
What's great about booking right now, whether you're planning to travel a year from now or even into 2023, for example, cruises are offering great terms and conditions. Packaged itineraries are offered at great prices. So if your travel is booked far out, now is a great time to book, because once this pandemic is under control, we're not going to see as favorable terms and conditions.
Yeah, and people are certainly worried about that for sure. You mentioned the Caribbean hotspots and some of the domestic places. Really, are we seeing, because of the pandemic, there are deals just about everywhere? I mean, even international travel, and it's just, again, because of reduced volume.
I think there is more of a focus on offering incentives for places that are truly open to U.S. travelers right now. I think with Europe not open yet, Australia not open yet, that there really isn't that as much of a focus. I think that you are seeing some incentives and you're definitely seeing better terms and conditions, but the hot deals are more focused on where we can travel in the next 3 to 6 months with certainty. Or at least more certainty.
Yeah, the cruise lines have just really been hurt by this. What are we seeing? A lot of fans of cruises who are really excited about getting back on the boats at some point.
Absolutely. You'll be surprised. We're actually booking more cruises for 2022 than, let's say, back in 2019. And I think even then that was a great year. So less bookings for 2021, but there's just this great pent-up demand for cruising in the future. And some of the cruise lines are just offering such great incentives. We even have some liners that are not requiring much of a deposit, and that deposit would be refundable. So knowing the terms and conditions, and even if you're not 100% certain, there's just so many great opportunities to plan ahead with flexibility.
Yeah, always read the fine print, but there are opportunities. Good to have you on, Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors. At this time tomorrow, Personal Finance Wednesday, still to come today, an update on commercial real estate in Chicago.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The pandemic has forced major changes in the commercial real estate market. We welcome Eric Feinberg, Vice Chairman at Savills here in Chicago. Eric, good to have you on the show. Let's begin by talking about pricing, especially when you're talking about leasing. A lot of tenants have scaled back on their space. What's that doing to prices?
Well, Cisco, when demand is down and supply is up, inevitably prices will go down. And so right now we are in a period of what I'll call price discovery, price dislocation. Certain buildings are having a harder time dealing with the pandemic than others. And for certain in 2021, we're going to see repricing for many commercial real estate assets throughout the Chicagoland area.
Which is really good for the people who are doing the leasing. But what about for those, the people who hold the leases? I mean, it's really rough to see that much money just sort of evaporate.
It is. It is. And some buildings will weather the storm a little bit better than others. But one of the things that also is going to cause problems for some of these real estate investors in the city of Chicago is that they've got mortgage payments to make as well, right? And with debt refinancings coming up in the next few years with lesser demand and fewer tenants, some of those refinancings are going to become a lot more challenging.
Any changes at all in the interim period? I mean, buildings have been able to revamp things. Health, wellness, safety, everyone's going to be considering that when they come back. Any sort of changes that buildings are doing?
Well, there have been the short-term changes to adjust to the pandemic. A lot of buildings have obviously put in processes as well as certain infrastructures in place to help them help their tenants deal with the changes, such as touchless systems, whether that be touchless elevators, various thermometer temperature reading scans as you walk into buildings, et cetera. From a long-term basis, though, it will be very interesting to see how tenants react. We feel that that employees are still going to want their organizations to focus on health and wellness, that there's going to be a what I'll call a post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of what we've gone through the past 12 months, and people are not going to want to be packed into spaces like they were before. They're going to want a little bit more room.
Yeah, makes sense. And for companies, that means reassessing your space and maybe even moving to different space.
Exactly, exactly. And so, you know, the time will tell as to kind of what the all the effects will bear. But I think you're right, Cisco, that, you know, certain organizations are definitely going to be looking at either revamping their space or moving entirely. And we do expect, you know, the first half of 2021 to still be in this transitionary period. But as we move closer to the end of the year, we think there's going to be a pretty active active leasing when companies and organizations have a clear vision of what the future brings.
Thanks so much for the insight. Eric Feinberg, Vice Chairman at Savills here in Chicago. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, you can just go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function. It works both online and with the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.